can handle the truth. Good morning and welcome, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan. Very excited to have you with us here tonight, as always. It's officially Thursday, June 14th, 2007, 1 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone. We've had an absolutely captivating discussion with our good friend Al Cuppett, who's been with us for the last 2 hours, and we asked him to hang over a little bit to wrap up with this phone call. John in Texas. Al, welcome back to you. John, welcome back to you. And John, go ahead.
Yeah, what the deal is, you know, I had guys in India say, Uncle, give me a reference, give me a study Bible. Well, the Holy Spirit is perfectly capable of guiding your study and guiding your thoughts and giving you insight and speaking to you directly from the Word, but that Word has to match what is forever settled in heaven. And the Cambridge 83 or the Cambridge 80 hardback, there's a Cambridge 80 hardback that you can get from AV Pubs, AV Publications, and I think that number was 1-800-435-4535. Gail Riplinger decided, and I decided, that was the correct King James Bible. There is also, you can also get from Christian, Christian book distributors. It's called Hendrickson Bible. It's a Hendrickson Bible. It's a little paperback you can get. It matches the Cambridge exactly for $1.67 if you buy 10 or more. So, I'll give you my address, and if you can't get it figured out, I can tell you in the mail.
Okay. Are there any computer programs or Bibles that are on CDs that you can?
Yeah, there's. I've got a guy that the University of Virginia has a King James Bible online, but I have not checked the text of that particular Bible because you have to check. Every Bible you pick up, you have to check. There's about 10 places in there to check to see if it's an authorized version, because publishers take liberties with taking capital letters out, and they'll put spaces and dashes and stuff, or take spaces out and take out paragraph markers to save money, and you won't have an authorized version. You'll have a King James Version, but not an authorized version, okay? And
right.
That's what you got to watch for. But the Cambridge 83 or the Cambridge 80 is the Word of God to man on planet Earth, period.
Okay. What about Hebrew?
No,
Bible?
You don't need Hebrew. Do you speak Hebrew?
No.
Well, see, Hebrew. The problem is this: the Holy Spirit cannot manifest faith in your spirit in a language you can't understand. So Hebrew doesn't do you any good. In fact, I can prove the King James Bible is better than the Hebrew text. It's better than the Hebrew text because God is in the business of preserving His Word, not Hebrew manuscripts, because nobody can read them. Okay. That's the issue. You know, I can speak Greek all day to you, but you won't understand it. So why? You don't need to hear it from the pulpit. It's a bunch of Gnosticism from these shyster pastors who think they know something about the Word of God, and they don't. They came from a Jesuit Bible school. They don't know anything. And they're the ones who offer polluted bread up on the altar of the Lord, Malachi 1:7. They're the problem. So you got to do it on your own, brother.
I see. Okay.
And if you can write me at Box 111, Wolftown, Virginia 22748, and I'll write you a personal letter and give you what you need to know.
Okay, repeat that address.
It's Box 111, Wolftown, Virginia 22748.
22748.
The post office is 12 foot square. If you just put Al Cuppett, Wolftown, Virginia, it'll get here because the post office is only 8 by 12.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
All right, brother. God bless you.
God bless you, and good evening.
Thank you so much for the call, John. And Al Cuppett, God bless you, sir. I hope that you'll keep in touch with me and we can talk more in the future. Hey, thank you again, my friend,
okay,
so much,
brother,
for all that you've done.
Okay, shalom. See you. Bye-bye.
God bless you, sir. Al Cuppett, ladies and gentlemen, fantastic stuff. He's given you his address. He's got videos available. He's got any number of things, and he's happy to have the correspondence. So send the man a letter and stay in touch with him and keep yourself in the loop there. Stay with us. We're back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Talk of flag. I talk of revolution. You'd much rather brag. And if the decibels of this disenchanting discourse continue to dampen the day, the conflicts again and again and again. As our sanity walks away.
Welcome back, my friends. Glad you're here. You are listening, of course, to Frankly Speaking Radio. Yeah, fantastic stuff from our guest. Certainly appreciate Al Cuppett and his hard work. Remember, you know, he is the reason why we know so much. I mean, the guy has courageously sort of put himself out there. And, again, it's a unique position he's in because if they were to come after him or sue him or do anything to sort of silence him, it just adds validity to everything he's saying. So it's kind of a precarious position he's in, but, you know, it's he's making it work. And I firmly believe that I think the guy's got God on his side, and I think that's a Well, it's a powerful place to be, that's for sure. So we were talking a little bit there about political solutions. This is something that human beings love. We love the idea that there's a possibility to set everything straight simply by voting. I don't believe that myself, but I do vote, so go figure, right? You'd say, well, Frank, why do you waste your time if you think it's a waste of time? Well, I do it because I want to do something. I want to at least be a part of the process that I don't believe is fair. I don't believe is accurate, but I want it to be. Does that make sense? You know, it's I don't know. I'm a weird guy that way, you know. I'm not I don't really mind fighting lost battles because I think that the fight is where you should be. I think that to even be willing to undertake the fight, to be willing to try is I think a great thing, and I think we're blessed for that. But the political field is a very interesting thing, and we got a couple of stories here I think you might find interesting. This is from politicalwire.com. It came out June 4th. It says, according to the latest public policy polling survey of likely South Carolina primary voters, Senator Barack Obama leads the Democratic presidential race with the support of 34%, trailed by Senator Hillary Clinton with 31% and John Edwards with 15%. On the GOP side, Fred Thompson leads his rivals with 27%, followed by Mitt Romney with 16%, Senator John McCain at 15%, Rudy Giuliani at 14%, and Newt Gingrich at 11%. Sorry, I'm a little congested here. The air conditioner is very, very cold tonight. Okay, so I think what's noteworthy about this is that first things first, Hillary and Obama, for the most part, their percentage rates are higher than all of the GOP candidates. The other thing that's interesting is Fred Thompson and Newt Gingrich, for the most part, haven't officially even declared that they're running, but yet they're still being rated. So, as I said, a lot of big-name people going on in this long, drawn-out, ridiculous election process. For, you know, it's June 2007. Why is this even an issue now? But it is, and we'll talk about it. So that's very, very noteworthy. Now, that's June 4th. Obviously, some things have changed a little bit since then, but let's take a look at this one. This one came out, and you can find this at weeklystandard.com. It came out on the 12th, so just the other day. Fred Thompson, it says, is adding more big-name policy talent as his Testing the Waters committee continues to grow into a real presidential campaign. Among the new additions are Mark Esper, the National Security Advisor to former Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, Joel Shin, a top policy staffer on Bush-Cheney 2000, and Elizabeth Cheney, a former top official in the State Department's Near East and South Asia Department. Fred Thompson has Elizabeth Cheney as one of his advisors. I think that's very interesting. It says Liz Cheney, the daughter, the oldest of Vice President Dick Cheney's two daughters, served most recently as Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Near Eastern Affairs and Coordinator for Broader Middle Eastern and North Africa Initiatives. That title, no doubt one of the longest in the federal government, means that Cheney was on the leading edge of President Bush's effort to bring democratic and market-based reform to the region. A longtime democracy advocate, Cheney was a strong proponent of women's rights in the region. Her previous experience includes time at the World Bank, two prior stints in the State Department, and service as a U.S. aid officer in Poland and Hungary. That's a lot of experience this gal's got. Apparently, we're just going to have a Cheney of some sort in the government for all time. But very, very interesting. So this could be perhaps the idea, you know, Dick Cheney's daughter sort of being brought into the Fred Thompson campaign. If that is what happens, that could sort of be the blessing from on high to indicate the GOP candidate most likely to get the nod. I don't know. I'll have to wait and see. But it goes on to say, Esper, Shin, and Cheney are well-known and well-respected in the Washington foreign policy community and generally regarded as hawkish in their views on national security. They will continue to give Thompson's foreign policy advice as the effort becomes a formal campaign. The informal group began meeting late last month, and currently plans are for weekly policy sessions. So still no definitive word there on Thompson, but it's noteworthy that people are talking about him, and obviously the Cheney family has given him their blessing, I guess you could say. This one came out earlier today, or technically yesterday, if you prefer, from Politico.com. It says, Fred Thompson has had a relatively easy ride as he has flirted with a bid for the Republican presidential nomination. His strategists have found traction, promoting him as the heir to Ronald Reagan and a conservative alternative to the top tier of the GOP field. However, the ride is starting to get a bit bumpy. Opponents and their researchers have begun working mostly behind the scenes to highlight perceived soft spots in his conservative bona fides. And Thompson will have to neutralize questions on the campaign trail and in the media about his centrist votes in the Senate, his stances on litmus test conservative issues, including abortion, and perhaps most significantly his work as a lawyer and a lobbyist. So in essence, what they're saying in this whole setup to the story is Thompson has had it fairly easy because he hasn't really come right out and said he's going to run, and therefore he hasn't been sort of thrown under the magnifying glass to, you know, by the media and certainly his opponents and his rivals. So they're setting it up and saying that he's going to have to answer some big questions once people do start really pointing the finger at him and scrutinizing his activities. However, in my opinion, I don't think that these soft spots, as they call them, I don't think they're that soft. I don't think this is simply flush the man down the toilet, there's no way he can win sort of thing. And again, I'm not Republican or Democrat. For those who are just joining us perhaps on the show, I don't care. I just don't believe in politics at all. I mean, like I said, I'll go and I'll vote, but I just think that Democrats and Republicans are no discernible difference between the two at the upper echelon of politicians. So anyway, the story goes on. It says Thompson made nearly $1.3 million over about two decades of lobbying, both before and after his eight-year Senate stint, according to government documents and media accounts from his successful run for the Senate in 1994. Some of Thompson's clients could prove tricky to explain, from a British reinsurance company facing billions of dollars in asbestos claims to deposed Haitian President Jean-Bertrand Aristide. It says, before Thompson won his Senate seat, published reports said his private law practice handled personal injury cases and defended people accused of white-collar crimes. And in the Senate, he opposed some legislation intended to rein in escalating jury verdicts and attorneys' fees. Trial lawyers are boogeymen for some conservative groups, which consider them Exhibit A for a legal system that rewards greed over industriousness. Thompson was among the leading Republican backers of the sweeping package of campaign finance reforms commonly known as the McCain-Feingold bill. Since it passed into law in 2002, conservative activists have derided it as an infringement on their free speech and have held a grudge against its GOP sponsor, Senator John McCain, a Republican from Arizona, whose presidential campaign has struggled to win over conservatives. So again, we're down to the last page of the story. It still doesn't seem too damning. But I go on. Although the influential American Conservative Union scored Thompson's Senate career voting record as 86%, some of the votes on which he strayed from the GOP fold could prove problematic for ardent partisans. For instance, he backed a 1998 bill that would have established a temporary farm worker program and a 1996 bill to increase the minimum wage. And he voted against one of the two impeachment charges brought against President Clinton in 1999. As for immigration, Thompson has come out strongly against the pending overhaul legislation, which McCain is spearheading. Every time Thompson got the chance in the Senate, he voted with those who oppose abortion rights. On candidate surveys in 94 and 96, he answered that he favored abortion always being legal in the first trimester of pregnancy and opposed an amendment to the U.S. Constitution, quote, protecting the sanctity of human life, end quote. According to the Nashville Tennessean, Thompson included a handwritten clarification with the latter response, which read, quote, I do not believe abortion should be criminalized. This battle will be won in the hearts and souls of the American people, end quote. So, however you feel about Fred Thompson, folks, if that's the best they can do on him, he's probably going to be around. Because, again, I think that those big questions that are looming about the man, I just don't think they're that bad. I don't think they're you know, deal breakers, if you will. So we talked about Obama with a slight lead over Hillary Clinton, and I firmly believe that Obama has kind of trashed himself on a number of occasions, opening his mouth and sticking his foot in, and these are the kind of things that you'd expect from somebody who perhaps doesn't have the political savvy of somebody that's been doing it for a very, very, very long time. And Barack Obama, one of the chief criticisms that a lot of people have about this guy is quite simply that he does not have the experience. Whether he does or he doesn't, I don't know. But again, when there was the tornado in Greensburg, Kansas, and he said 100,000 people are dead, and then the 1,600 people, the entire population of that town, looked at each other and said, where'd all these people come from? But he said, I didn't mean 10,000 people. I meant 10 people, you know, whatever it was. And he said, I'm sorry, but when I get tired, I make mistakes. Not something that's really going to ingratiate you to a potential president, right? Well, Obama's done some shady things, and we're going to look at one of them when we come back here, folks. Stay with us for more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a one-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen, and I mentioned about Barack Obama making some verbal doozies as far as mistakes go, and of course his comments to Detroit automakers and, you know, saying, oh, the Japanese and the Chinese are making these cars that can, you know, do, I don't know, 45 miles per gallon. And then, you know, these Japanese and Chinese car makers are like, what is he talking about? There is no such thing. Anyway, it goes on and on. So, you know, the guy's just basically, he's looked like a real amateur on the road, is just my humble opinion. But anyway, I do think he's, if he's being welcomed into the fold of the powers that be, he'll be told to take it, Ivan, he'll do so. And maybe he's doing that now. But like I said, the guy does have skeletons in the closet. And here's one story which you may or may not have heard. All the way back to April of this year, Chicago Tribune. It says, the day after New Year's 1996, operatives for Barack Obama, that's Barack Hussein Obama, by the way, filed into a barren hearing room for the Chicago Board of Election Commissioners. They began the tedious process of challenging hundreds of signatures on the nominating petitions of State Senator Alice Palmer, the longtime progressive activist from the city's south side. And they kept challenging petitions until every one of Obama's four Democratic primary rivals was forced off the ballot. In essence, Barack Obama's team forced every single opponent that Barack Obama had in his first campaign. They forced them right off the ticket till he was the only one there. He was the only one people were allowed to vote for, and obviously he won. Now, if that doesn't sound like being groomed for the you know, for the big leagues, I don't know what does. But it says, fresh from his work as a civil rights lawyer and head of a voter registration project that expanded access to the ballot box, Obama launched his first campaign for the Illinois Senate, saying he wanted to empower disenfranchised citizens. But in that initial bid for political office, Obama quickly mastered the bare-knuckled arts of Chicago electoral politics. His overwhelming legal onslaught signaled his impatience to gain office, even if that meant elbowing aside an elder stateswoman like Palmer. A close examination of Obama's first campaign clouds the image he has cultivated throughout his political career. The man now running for president on a message of giving a voice to the voiceless first entered public office not by leveling the playing field, but by clearing it. That's your Barack Obama. In a recent interview, Obama granted, quote, there's a legitimate argument to be made that you shouldn't create barriers to people getting onto the ballot, end quote. But the unsparing legal tactics were justified, he said, by the obvious flaws in his opponent's signature sheets. He said, quote, to my mind, we were just abiding by the rules that had been set up, end quote. He also went on to say, quote, I gave some thought to, should people be on the ballot even if they didn't meet the requirements? My conclusion was that if you could run a successful petition drive, then that raised questions in terms of how effective a representative you were going to be, end quote. When asked if the district's primary voters were being well served by having only one option, Obama smiled and said, quote, I think they ended up with a very good state senator, end quote. Well, of course you would, because it's a self-serving statement, but, you know, nevertheless, we go on. At the time, though, Obama seemed less at ease with the decision, according to aides. They said the first-time candidate initially expressed reservations about using challenges to eliminate all of his fellow Democrats. Said Ronald L. Davis, the paid Obama campaign consultant who filed objections to his Obama's rivals as a 13th district citizen, Davis said, quote, he wondered if we should knock everybody off the ballot. How would that look? End quote. In the end, Davis filed objections to all four of Obama's Democratic rivals at the candidate's behest. But Obama did not gloat over the victories. According to Will Burns, the 1996 Obama campaign volunteer who assisted with the petition challenges, he said, quote, I don't think he thought it was, you know, sporting. He wasn't very proud of it, end quote. So Barack Obama, ladies and gentlemen, he forced off all of his political rivals in the Democratic Party so he could be the only nominee for the Democratic Party in his running for state senator. As a result of that, it appears this was his first big campaign. He kind of felt crappy about it. He felt like he had maybe done some despicable things, and, you know, in some people's minds, he did. But in essence, what you've got here is a guy who starts the slippery slope of compromise. A guy who said, well, should I have morals and ethics or whatnot, and, you know, does the end justify the means? This is the beginning of, in my opinion, somebody who has sold out. And that's your Barack Obama right there. And that's why I think, again, he's, you know, I think that they've already pretty much promised it to Hillary. I think she's going to be the president. I think she's going to be the option for the Democrats. And I don't think Barack Obama will be the VP. I think they'll kind of hold him back in the wings, let him gain some experience, and you know, he'll be the, you know, promise to the White House in the future. I don't know. It's just my speculation. I could be completely off base with this, and it's, you know, very, very likely that I am. But I do think that Hillary's going to be really rising to the top of the Democratic pile. The question is going to be, who's her vice president going to be, her choice for VP? And I think that we'll have to wait and see. I seriously don't think it'll be Barack Obama. I think it'll be more likely to be John Edwards. But who knows? I have been wrong before, once or twice, and, well, 100,000 times perhaps. But it's still up in the air. But Hillary got a surprising endorsement. You know, it is what it is and means what it means, which could be nothing. But we'll address that story when we come back here, folks, in 3 minutes. Please stay with us for more Frankly Speaking Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits, no increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Glad you're here, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, and we're in the home stretch here, about 25 minutes left in the show. I'm glad you've been with us. Certainly a lot of great information. And I want to keep this in mind, too. This hour is being brought to you courtesy of the generosity of Soleil Wellness, the makers of superior natural salt crystal products, including those salt crystal lamps. Now, maybe you've seen these. They're fantastic. They are very, very bright, and they just look like a, I don't know, like an orange rock, I suppose, but they're very, very pretty. They filter the air, and it doesn't have the noisiness of most air filters. It's very pretty and something you can keep out in the open. Anyway, very, very cool things. They also have skin products, oral care products, natural foods, and more. Check out the website for all the information at www.natural-salt-lamps.com. You can also call them toll-free at 866-497-0274. And, of course, we appreciate all of our sponsors and advertisers and all the people that make this show and this network possible. So we ask you to support them. And so we can continue doing these things. Anyway, this story came out earlier today. Maybe you saw it, maybe you did not. HillaryHub.com. And, of course, it's about Hillary Clinton. Influential filmmaker and philanthropist Steven Spielberg today announced that he is officially endorsing Hillary Clinton for president. Spielberg said he has chosen to endorse Clinton because of her experience and her strength. So, again, Obama's inexperience, perhaps, might hold him back. Anyway, it goes on, said Spielberg in a statement, quote, I've taken the time to familiarize myself with the impressive field of Democratic candidates and am convinced that Hillary Clinton is the most qualified candidate to lead us from her first day in the White House. Hillary is a strong leader and has respected the world over. As president, she will bring America back together, rebuild our prestige abroad, and ensure our protection here at home, end quote. Wow. I would never have put all of those statements attributable to Hillary ever, but apparently some people do feel that way. Either way, you know, by design or, you know, who knows what. But it's very noteworthy because Spielberg and so many other people out in Hollywood have kind of reserved judgment, kind of held back a little bit and sort of appeared to be wavering there in the Democratic field because, you know, Hollywood typically goes Democrat anyway for the most part. But it would seem that, you know, Spielberg sort of leading the charge comes out and endorses Hillary. This is going to probably make a pretty significant difference in the amount of people who come out and start endorsing candidates officially, is if we really care what celebrities think, actors, directors, musicians, who cares? We're all allowed to have our opinion, and we all should be able to think for ourselves. And I would like to see that. I would like to see Steven Spielberg, instead of sitting back and sort of saying, you know, stroking his beard and saying, well, I officially will endorse Hillary Clinton. Who cares? Okay, big deal. So go and vote for her just like everybody else. Why do you have to come out and make statements like that? You know, and that's what it's all about. It's just designed to garner more attention and cause a little shift, perhaps. But watch for that and see how that develops. I think it's a noteworthy thing, to be sure. Obviously, in regards to the Democrats, you're going to see a lot of people out there pushing for this global warming thing and some sort of climate, you know, changes that have to be made. We talked about the one in Denver that's extremely draconian and pretty much exactly what we had talked about. Some people are very offended by that. Some people are very upset by that. But I think, it, you know, they always do this. They float stuff out there in an extreme form to see how people react to it. Then they pull it back a little bit. Then they incrementally move forward and get exactly what they want in the first place. So watch for the global warming thing to be a huge issue in all the campaigns, especially, of course, with all of the this summer, there's a lot of global warming meetings scheduled. There's a lot of global warming reports that will be released. Al Gore's having the Live Earth concerts, which are, you know, just a whole bunch of musicians basically saying, yeah, save the planet, dude. Now let's go listen to rock and roll. I don't really see the whole connection there myself, but do not underestimate the power of music, folks. It's a powerful thing, I suppose, just like you can't underestimate the influence of a Steven Spielberg. But along those same lines as the global warming thing, this is an interesting one. Came out earlier today, technically yesterday, CNSnews.com. It says, call it green pollution. The ethanol industry, which is marketed as environmentally friendly and has been called a cornerstone of America's energy policy, is dirtying the air and water supplies across the heartland. Industry watchers say pollution is going to get worse. According to Bill Becker, executive director of the National Association of Clean Air Agencies, he said, quote, there seems to be this mad rush toward expansion of the alternative fuels industry without sufficient due diligence, end quote. The Renewable Fuels Association, a major industry lobbying group, lists 119 working ethanol refineries in the United States, with another 77 refineries being built as of June 1st. That's a lot of refineries for ethanol, folks. How many refineries do we have? for oil, for example? Well, I can say that. I don't know the actual number of that, but I know that we have no new oil refineries being built in America since the 70s, so I think that's pretty substantial. We got 77 ethanol refineries being built as of June 1. That should tell you something. It says a Cybercast news service analysis of EPA records found 73 biorefineries, more than 60% of those currently operating, were cited by federal, state or federal agencies for environmental violations in the last 3 years. The vast majority involve state or federal clean air laws. According to Frank O'Donnell, president of the nonpartisan Clean Air Watch, quote, they've brought the enforcement actions against a number of ethanol companies and refineries for essentially sidestepping the law. Ethanol refineries have the potential to pollute quite a bit, end quote. O'Donnell went on to say, quote, ethanol has been dramatically oversold as a green energy source, end quote. So basically, in essence, what we found out here is that ethanol itself is not green, it's not pollution-free, and it's not necessarily the greatest thing in the world. But it's been painted as such in order to, of course, make you think that there are things you can be doing to save the planet and so on and so forth, even though we talked about the permafrost and the carbon methane that will be released as you know, things happen, permafrost melts, and it's released in the air, basically doubling what we currently have or more. So whatever kind of car you drive and whatever kind of fancy schmancy you know, electric thing or ethanol car, whatever it is that you try to do to make yourself look cool to all your neighbors and say, wow, look how green that person is. I admire them. They're my hero. It's not going to make a damn bit of difference, honestly, in the grand scheme of things. But again, that's just par for the course. We've talked about the carbon fluorescent light bulbs, the CFLs. You may have seen them. Maybe you have them. They just look like a normal light bulb on the bottom, and then they go up and they kind of curl around, and they, you know, look like little tubes all wrapped together to sort of a light bulb type of shape. These things have been touted as a great energy saver. If you change all the light bulbs in your house and you have those things running only, they use so little electricity, you'll save a whopping $200 in 1 year. Which, you know, hey, trust me, if somebody said, I want to give you $200, I'd be extremely grateful and I'd happily take it. But at the same time, the light bulbs themselves cost like $4 or more. And if you look at the packaging on it, it says, you know, there's an environmental hazard, which you'd say, okay, well, all light bulbs have those. Well, anyway, if you read the exterior of the package, it doesn't really tell you anything, but if you open it up, it says these light bulbs contain mercury. And we did a story on the show. Excuse me. I don't know why my throat is acting up. Anyway, we did a story on the show a few months ago with these CFL light bulbs that are being strongly pushed by, like, Walmart and things like that as really the new thing. These light bulbs have mercury in them, and there was a story about a gal who had dropped one, and it broke. It broke, and she thought, well, I did read a biohazard thing. So she called the store she got it from, one of the, you know, like Home Depot or Lowe's or something, and they said, oh, yeah, there's mercury in there. You better call the Department of Environmental Protection. She called them in the state she was in. I think it was Maine, perhaps. Anyway, they sent representatives out there. They tested her room where she broke the light bulb and discovered that it was thousands of times higher than the EPA would recommend for mercury content. Now, if the EPA recommends any mercury content, you know, that's probably a bad thing. So if it's thousands of times greater, that's a bad thing. So she had to pay like $2,000 to have her room or something professionally cleaned. It was thousands of dollars. Obviously, she's, you know, take her decades to recoup that using these energy efficient light bulbs. But these are things they don't tell you. You know, if you want a really energy efficient light bulb, folks, look for the LED ones. That's where it's at. That's the future. And some of these big retail outlets like Walmart are intentionally not carrying those because they want to push their version of things. So it's just like the ethanol plants that we're talking about here. It's all about painting something in ways that they think you want to hear it, trying to make it palatable for you to accept and endorse and buy into. Don't believe the hype is all I can say. Anyway, story goes on. It said Fordland, Missouri's bed and breakfast owner Larry Alberti agrees. He and his rural neighbors are fighting a proposed ethanol plant in nearby Rogersville. They fear the plant's proposed 12-acre wastewater holding pond will seep into groundwater, the plant will be built on top of a major aquifer, and that the project will harm tourism in the area with its smokestacks and noise. How about, look at the genius in that, right? Well, we're going to build this ethanol plant, 12 acres with a wastewater holding pond, right above a major aquifer. Yeah, that sounds like a brilliant idea, doesn't it? And yet, still going forward. Got to love big business. Anyway, Becker, who represents a group of state and local environmental regulatory agencies, said the ethanol industry's green credentials have been blackened. At one time, those agencies viewed the renewable fuels industry as a natural ally in environmental protection, but not anymore. Said Becker, quote, I don't think they, meaning ethanol, would qualify as green today, end quote. That's very important. As these things are pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed, and then they come to fruition, and we discover that they're all crap. Why? Presumably because people see dollar signs instead of, the planet being saved. They're in it for the money. It's just like everything else. This should come as no surprise to any of you. I'm sure it does not. But anyway, it says incentives for ethanol production and distribution are a significant part of the Senate's omnibus energy bill being debated this week. Repeated requests for comment from one of the most powerful pro-ethanol lobbying groups, the Renewable Fuel Association, went unreturned. Big surprise. So Cybercast News Service contacted Renewable Fuel Association, said, would you like to comment on the story? And they said, no, they didn't say anything. They didn't return the calls. Requests for comment from Senator John Thune, Republican from South Dakota, and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid, Democrat from Nevada, both of whom have been outspoken advocates for ethanol, their request for comment went unreturned. Aides for Senator Bill Nelson, Democrat from Nebraska, reviewed the Cybercast News Service analysis and declined to comment. So there you have it, folks. Your elected representatives of the people don't want you to know those things. Now, we talked a little bit yesterday about the drought conditions, about farming and all those things, and there's certainly some great options available for those who are seeking to do these things for themselves. But when you look at the small farmers, and we talked about this in terms of the Dust Bowl, you know, back then you had small farms who have, you know, probably over-farmed in order to keep up with the demand. Anyway, the soil was just not there, and there was nothing really holding it there. And then you had the Dust Bowl conditions, and you had these huge windstorms and giant clouds of dust and drought, and people just got up and abandoned their farms. Well, we're in drought conditions now on par with the 1930s. This is a bad scene. It's probably going to get worse. But a lot of people don't notice it because we don't really have a lot of small-town farmers anymore. Most of those people have just been abandoned in the grand scheme of things. They can't afford to pay these prices. They certainly are not getting the government money. The big farmers are, the big factory farms. And with the freeze that we saw, the late freeze and then massive amounts of snowfall, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cattle were lost. Certainly the drought last year, you know, a lot of farmers couldn't afford to keep their cattle. They said, I can't afford to feed them. I'm just going to go ahead and slaughter them. When we saw this and we talked about this, we said beef prices will go down as there's more saturation in the marketplace. And then eventually, as there's less and less cattle, they'll be importing it from other places with presumably worse standards than we have here in America, if that's possible. And the price will probably go up significantly as there's less available. And we're pretty much seeing that now. Well, I came across this story, which I was pretty surprised by. Maybe you would be as well. WLBZ2.com. It's an NBC affiliate. I'm not sure exactly where they're out of. But anyway, that's where you can find it. It came out on the 12th. Here's what it says. Some of America's rich and famous are padding their bank accounts with government money meant for working farmers. A watchdog group in Washington unveiled an internet database that pinpoints where the government is giving away its farm subsidies. On Tuesday, you may be surprised to see who's getting the money and where. Critics say government money is going to fat cats when it could be used to help people struggling to find their next meal. A new internet database shows exactly who's been getting the billions of dollars in farm subsidies given out by Uncle Sam. Here's some of it. NBA superstar Scottie Pippen got $289,000. This is an NBA basketball player. He's not out there tilling the fields. He's not out there farming. He's not reaping some crops. He's not sowing seeds. Scottie Pippen, he just probably owns a ranch of some sort. He owns some land, and the government gave him almost $300,000. This is a guy who makes millions and millions of dollars every year, and he's getting this money, and he's like, cool, thanks. That's it. How far would that go to the small family farm? How far would that go to many small family farms? Probably it would go a long way. It says late night host David Letterman got $8,000, presumably because of his ranch. However, he gave his to charity. So good for him. Even the estate of legendary penny-pinching comedian Jack Benny got a bigger piece of the government pie than a sheep farmer named Leo Tammy. Tammy gets $500 a year. Says Tammy, quote, "Who'd have thunk that I'm in the same club as some of the wealthiest individuals in the country," end quote. That's what he actually said, who'd have thunk. But he's right. He's a guy who has presumably a smaller amount of acreage, and he gets smaller amounts of money. He's $500 a year. Scottie Pippen gets $300,000, the one guy who probably doesn't need it. Not that Scottie Pippen is the richest guy in the world, but still, he's taking it. The coalition of watchdog groups that created the database using the government's own data said, this is no joke, said Ken Cook, quote, our system of farm subsidies is broken, and it's time for a change. Nearly 2 million farmers don't get a penny, but one farmers group says the subsidies are still vital, said Tara Smith from the American Farm Bureau Federation. She said, quote, we would rather see a few billionaires slip through the cracks and get payments versus seeing hardworking farmers not get the payments that they need, end quote. So then there's that option. And it goes on, really. Some people are saying, oh, no, we need more money. That money needs to be taken away from the farmers altogether and go to other things like food stamps and you know, government assistance programs and things like that. That's a terrible suggestion. But the point is that watch for this, too, because this is a real tragedy. Now, some of the giant factory farms, if they don't get their government money, are they going to be okay? Yeah, they're going to be fine, because inevitably they're going to be the only farms we have around here anymore, unless people start taking it upon themselves to grow their own food. Get together, folks, with people in your community. Find out who's got what and where are they and what can you do to help and be a member of that little community of people who are maybe growing food or connecting with each other. You know, farmers markets on the weekends. All those things are still options. They're still possible for now. Stay with us. We're going to take a short break. Be back here to wrap up the big show in 3 minutes.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. PersonalArms.com carries the highest quality law enforcement grade pepper spray and sells it at true wholesale prices that start at $6.95. Check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. This electronic watchdog sees through walls. Electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com/RBN. That's www.personalarms.com/RBN or call 1-201-641-1442. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or local law, so check your laws before making a purchase.
Attention gardeners, if you've ever wanted to grow the absolute best tasting fruits and vegetables imaginable, well, here's exciting news. There's a new product called ProtoGrow, and it's dynamite in the garden. ProtoGrow is a bioactive superfood for plants. It works by providing true broad spectrum nutrition, allowing plants to achieve their full genetic expression. So what does this mean in the garden? It means mouth-watering fruits and vegetables, brilliantly colored flowers, herbs that finally grow to medicinal strength, blue ribbon garden produce jam-packed with bioavailable minerals and trace elements, giant pumpkins, even high-potency Hybrix wheatgrass. ProtoGrow is a proprietary blend of full-spectrum nutrients from the sea. It literally contains the basic building blocks of life itself. In fact, ProtoGrow is so effective at producing rapid plant growth in record time that it almost forces plants to grow even under the worst light and soil conditions. To grow tasty fruits and vegetables right now, go to growlikecrazy.com or call 877-327-0365.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan, and boy, it's been an action-packed 3 hours, needless to say. I think we have time to fit one more thing in here. You know, and we've been talking a lot about surveillance and Google and eBay and all the things out there for privacy's sake. Very interesting story that will probably take on more significance as time goes on. You may have seen this from the it's from EFF.org, which stands for Electronic Frontier Foundation. Came out on the 12th. Was that Tuesday? Yeah. We'll go with that. It says, more documents detailing secret government surveillance of AT&T's internet traffic have been released to the public as part of the Electronic Frontier Foundation's class action lawsuit against the telecom giant. Some of the unsealed information was previously made public in redacted form, but after negotiations with AT&T, EFF has filed newly unredacted documents describing a secret secure room in AT&T's facilities that gave the National Security Agency direct access to customer emails and other internet communications. Okay, AT&T had a secret room in their facility that the NSA used to tap directly into communications, which presumably would have been emails and internet things, instant message, all sorts of stuff. It said these include several internal AT&T documents that have long been available on media websites, EFF's legal arguments to the Ninth Circuit, and the full declarations of whistleblowers Mark Klein and of J. Scott Marcus, the former senior advisor for Internet Technology to the Federal Communications Commission, who bolsters and explains EFF's evidence. Said EFF legal director Cindy Kahn, quote, this is critical evidence supporting our claim that AT&T is cooperating with the NSA in the illegal dragnet surveillance of millions of ordinary Americans. This surveillance is under debate in Congress and across the nation as well as in the courts. The public has a right to see these important documents and the declarations from our witnesses and our legal arguments, and we are very pleased to be able to release them, end quote. EFF filed the class action lawsuit against AT&T last year, accusing the telecom giant of illegally assisting in the NSA spying on millions of ordinary Americans. The lower court allowed the case to proceed, and the government has now asked the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals to dismiss the case, claiming the lawsuit could expose state secrets. Said EFF senior staff attorney Kurt Opschel, he said, quote, the district court rejected the government's attempt to sweep this case under the rug. This country has a long tradition of open court proceedings, and we're pleased that as we present our case to the Court of Appeals, the millions of affected AT&T customers will be able to see our arguments and evidence and judge for themselves, end quote. Bravo! This is a good thing. Now, oral arguments in the Ninth Circuit appeal are set for the week of August 13th. So we'll have to watch for that. That's 2 months away, I guess. So the point is, folks, is there is still hope out there. There always is hope. Just put your faith where it belongs. And for me, that's in God. But at the same time, you can still see that some successes are being made. People do value their freedom, and they will take extraordinary steps to protect it. And in this case and in others, These are just people who are, you know, going through all the legal channels to try to get their voices heard. And I applaud them for that. I think that's the right way to play it. And we still have the show, folks. We still have opportunities to chat and to discuss things. And we will continue to do so at every single opportunity. In fact, our next one will be tomorrow evening or later tonight, if you prefer. For more Frankly Speaking Radio, we will see you then, folks. Have yourselves a spectacular day.